This is the Dr. Peter Breggin Hour, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. on www.prn.fm. This radio presentation replays my weekly TV show, Refounding America with Peter R. Breggin, MD, which can be watched on Brighteon.tv, and it's available on Roku. I interview guests who are heroes and pioneers in confronting the global predators who are behind COVID-19 lockdowns and vaccines, corrupt public health and medicine, global warming, the Great Reset, and other justifications for destroying the Western democracies. They are stealing our countries, our freedoms, our dignity and hope, and our jobs and our savings. For documentation of this worldwide tragedy, read our new book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey, by Peter and Ginger Breggin. Together, my guests and I explore what is happening and what we each can do to refound America and inspire the world. Thank you for your courage in facing these challenges and standing up for liberty. Here are four principles for living like an American. Protect freedom. Take responsibility at all times. Express gratitude for every gift and opportunity. Become a source of love. Once again, these are the times that try our souls. We must find the strength and the courage to rise up to refound America in the spirit of liberty. Hello, my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful audience. If you today are feeling a little tired like I was and dealing with a lot in the world like Ginger and I have been dealing with lately, let me tell you that all around the world, yesterday I was doing TV here in the U.S., but also from Israel, people are getting turned on to standing up for themselves. There is a renewal of freedom in America. And our book is doing extremely well. We're up to 65,000 sales of our book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey. In the U.S., you can buy the book at wearethepray.com, but only in the U.S., and you'll get a discount. We're working on that in the rest of the world. In the rest of the world, you have to buy it on Amazon or Books a Million or Barnes & Noble, whatever you like to buy on the internet. Well, I am back, my wonderful, wonderful audience, and I was in the middle of saying, hey, if you need a pickup, there's a lot of pickup out there, and Brian Artis, my guest today, doctor in chiropractic, a wonderful man with a huge heart, working incredibly hard for America and the world. His father-in-law died from some of the poor treatment at the beginning of this botched COVID-19. Not so much botched, murderous, let's just call it, this murderous failure to treat people, this murderous push toward vaccines. And he stepped in, and he has been filling one of the great voids, which is knowledge and intelligence, speaking loud, clear, full of enthusiasm, in my experience, full of great humor, too. And I could use a little of that today. Brian Artis, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Peter. It's great to see you, Doc. I'm proud of you with your book and so excited for your success.
Well, thank you. You know, it's like I just get a little sing in my heart when I see you. The stuff you're doing, just tell people, I mean, how did you just become one of the lights of the world right now? I mean, you are so busy. You're so full of energy and truth and goodness. And you're traveling and meeting people and educating the world. I'd like to just sit back for a minute and hear some more about what you've been doing.
Yeah, so I just want to say I'm proud of you. There's been times, actually, in the last year and a half where we are so busy, so overwhelmed trying to warn, educate, and inspire people and give them hope, you and I both, Dr. Bregan, and bring into light information that people can use and articulate that well, write it well like you've done, where it gets exhausting, it gets overwhelming. And there have been days like yours today where I personally have had to take a nap just to get recharged.
Now, I didn't tell you you could talk about my nap. When we were personally chatting before the show, but there it is. I mean, that's like, that's a cliche, you know, the old guy took a nap before the show. He did, folks. But thank you know goodness. What? I worked 15 hours yesterday on COVID-19 issues. I think I had one patient, but the rest of the day, I literally didn't stop going. So, I mean, we just have to keep going. We're at a critical turning point, maybe in the history of the world. I think so, in the history of America. Do you think things are beginning to look better for freedom, for the whole fight for God and country and standing up to the global predators? Are they looking a little better out there?
I know that I'm getting people's attention, and I know your book is getting people's attention. And when I see things, there's glimpses at times where it feels like finally we're making some progress. Mm-hmm. Did you see the little short clip of that in the UK, the parliament, where there was an announcement they're going to drop those mandates? And I was like, rocking, this is great. They're going to drop the vaccine mandates, the mask mandates, even in public settings, schools. That was announced today. Finally, some people are waking up.
I didn't see that today. Remember, I was taking a nap. So did it actually happen? They announced it?
Did happen. And I'll send you the clip after this.
In the UK?
In the UK.
Wow. Well, that's a big step. I mean, folks, if the Brits can make a move toward independence, freedom, and courage, where are we? You know, we're not leading the world right now in liberty, folks. We really need to be the light unto the world. I don't want this new stand for freedom being dependent on the Brits. But bless them.
I love it too.
Bless them. They've been so terrorized there. They've been so overwhelmed there. That's the whole point of, folks, of what's going on with the spike protein, with the whole deal. It's all about crushing the constitutional democracies of the world, because what stands in the way of the great reset of all the global predators from Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and the UN and the Chinese communists and the big industries that support all of them, what stands in their way is the center of America. The people who say, no, we have a nation. We're a leading nation. We're an independent nation. We actually have borders. We actually don't let everybody take our industry and impoverish our country, because that is good for billionaires who want to invest in China. No, we have to stand up for ourselves. So, Brian, tell them where you've been. Go ahead.
Can I ask you a question, Dr. Bregan? I know it's your show, but can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
Based on your expertise and years of knowledge and putting together all this information on this wonderful book that's subtitled We Are the Prey. What a perfect subtitle. It's my favorite part of the whole title. I have a question for you, because I don't really know how the human mind goes in this direction, but maybe you can from your clinical experience and education. How is it possible that people, when they get wealth and power, how is it that they deem the world needs to be changed, because the capitalist way that was set up before brought them the wealth and power that they have? Why do they feel like they need to change it? Why do they think it needs to be changed? Why in their right mind, when the people who are in the world they live in have turned over their money to them to give them that power that they have, why in the world would they ever think for a second we need to kill off percentages of the world's population. Don't they realize that those people gave them that power and actually bought into them and have served them? I don't understand where the, how the mind goes there. Do you have any perspective on that? Because I've kind of been stuck in a quandary for like 2 years trying to figure out why it is these people have these motives. Doesn't even make sense to my, what I thought was a normal mind. I thought the world was working the way it was for us Americans. Why all of a sudden does it need to be changed?
Well, you're asking the deepest question there is, and I talk a lot about it with Ginger, and I just did a show originating from Israel, but with Zev Zelenko as the interviewer, and we were talking about this, we think about this a lot. One of the things I think we have to understand is that the human beings are deeply flawed. We have to be brought up properly. We have to be loved. We have to be taught ethics. We have to mature properly. And it's a difficult and complicated process. And all of us are filled with imperfections. If you look at the Bible simply as a metaphor or a general history, rather than as God's word, let's say, you get either way, you get the same message. You know, there's Adam and Eve, and right away, you know, Eve, being the symbol of, I guess, evil and patriarchy, she causes the downfall of it all. And then the first family, you know, one brother slews another brother. If we look back at history, it's the same story. If we look back to any time after we begin to live in cities, after we stop being roving bands of families of 25, 30 people would be a large group roving about, hunting and gathering, but we start settling in villages, from then on, there are humans taking charge. There are bullies rising to the top. And I think one of the most important things for people to realize as we begin to really look at how bad things are, that we have like well, let's face it, a demented president being controlled by people we're not even sure whom. We guess this person, that person, another person. We can see that the program is perfectly tailored for the destruction of the country, overwhelming spending, opening the border, letting the criminals go loose. All the policies are bent on weakening our country. We have to realize that since time began, that's how humans lived. We lived under flawed kings, under flawed queens. We lived under the latest empire. We lived under the latest invader. We lived under people who thought they were God or thought they were the representative of God since time began. And human beings, we are, for whatever reason, we are so vulnerable to accepting, whether it's feudalism or a Chinese emperor or Nazi Germany, we'll live there too, while they're killing us Jews. We'll live in the USSR while Stalin murders 25, 30 million. We'll live through the empires and then Mao, who kills maybe 100 million. We humans tend to fit in. We tend to just want to get along and till our own fields, and we get constantly into the situation of being bullied and controlled, and we're moving back into it. The miracle is the founding of the United States of America, which they so hate. Oh God, all they want to remind us, every flaw of the founder from their own period of time. And they don't look and see that for the first time in history, the Declaration of Independence said human beings have a natural God-given right to be free. And then a constitution that said we can't trust leaders. We have to have checks and balances. We can't have a king. We can't have even a democracy. Running the world. We have to have a system of checks and balances so that human evil that wants to take over and bully everybody else doesn't take charge. Boy, you really cut me loose here. Give me a nap before the show and I'll just fly. And this is Brian Harris. This is the miracle. the times, even the amount of freedom we have under Biden is so much greater than so many other people in the world today. But we're going downhill back into what could be considered humanity's natural state in large groups before came along Ben Franklin and Tom Jefferson and Adams and George Washington. And you know, I'm talking a lot here, but you know, if it wasn't one quirk of human nature, we'd still be back where everybody else was. And the quirk of human nature was there was a man, George Washington, who had all the power in the world after a stunning victory with the help of the French and other folks, but he was in charge, a stunning victory over the greatest empire of all, had a ragtag starving army telling him, be our king, be our president for life. Let's march on Congress and get paid. We haven't been paid. We're owed all kinds of money. Be our king. And Washington found out they were meeting and getting ready to demand this of him. And he goes into the meeting in the church and he acts like he's crying and he puts his glasses on. No one's ever seen him like this. And he says to the folks gathered, is this what we've come to? You make me king after the years I've sweated and we've worked and I've led you to freedom. And they turned around and left. And King George said, if it's true Washington did that, he is the most amazing hero in the history of the world. And he was. That quirk is why we're all here. That's why we didn't get another one of the same old, same old. And we have to fight now. And you are fighting. And that is my answer. And does it make sense to you, sir?
It does. I love it. And I love that you just kept on talking. I would love to listen to you for hours. I just want you to know I have a great appreciation for my elders and those and the things that they have studied, learned, and the life experiences they can share. It's always been my favorite part of life.
This is not a joke. When you got 8 minutes to talk on this segment and fill it in with what you're doing, and I'm going to be quiet. God bless you. And he believed in God. Don't let any of the progressive historians tell you not. I've got a picture behind me that is real. It's been testified to by witnesses that actually existed. And the historians didn't want to see the Washington got down on his knees in the snow behind his horse and said, you know, give me strength. Give me strength.
That's one of my favorite images ever. Actually, I have that painting in my own home. Actually, oh my God. I love it. And I've always loved it. For some reason, I've had a great admiration for that. I guess it's just the president or the leader of this free world getting on his knees and understanding that he is not almighty or the almighty or putting himself over God, which so many men do. So I have that great appreciation. Thank you for that. And I do think that the freedoms that have been given to this land and set up by our founding fathers, which was obviously of utmost on the forefront of their mind to protect our liberties and our freedoms. There's a lot of people out there that have no problems trying to destroy that. That's right. In fact, we got a good belly laugh right before we came on the show because I said, were you excited to hear that Joe Biden's giving out a free gift to all Americans? 3 free N95 masks to all adults in the country, sending out 400 million N95 masks. Now, the truth is, about half the country is going to be really excited for some reason, which is odd. But I just want you to know, this is not a gift coming from them to act because they love you and they care about you. No, this is their next step at making sure you're convinced this ain't over. This pandemic's not over. These mandates that they've put in and have been suggested, been refuted, suggested again. This is them trying to prep the entire country to be ready and warn you subtly. This is a hint that it ain't ending soon. We're giving you all these masks so you continue your vaccine regimen. Exactly. This is all about controlling you, initiating you into a booster program, tearing down while they tear down our government and all of our freedoms and our liberties. That's what they're working on. This is not a gift of love. I'll just tell you that. So I had a great conversation this morning with Paul Elias Alexander that lives close to you. And I actually asked him this morning, how does he feel about these 400 million masks, this free gift from Joe Biden in the White House? And I said, especially since on December 20th, you published an op-ed on brownstone.org that is 150 studies confirming that masks are ineffective and problematic. And we went through the whole thing for like 25 minutes. These masks do not work. They are not effective at all, especially at stopping the spread of a virus the size of a coronavirus. So we'll just get that out of the way. So let's bring some reason and rationale here. We'll do it even 2 years later because we've been dealing with these masks for 2 years. All right. So the particle sizes of the mask are designed to capture nanoparticles that are 3 microns or bigger. Only 3 microns or bigger. Anything smaller goes right through the mask. Dr. Bregan, these masks are actually being taught to you, sold to you with the idea that they protect and prevent coronaviruses, which are 0.125 microns big. It prevents the transmission to and fro through those masks to you. They don't work. That doesn't help. All they do is actually deplete oxygen to the brain, increase carbon dioxide in the body, which is great environment for viruses, bacteria to thrive. They love that stuff. And we got into, I just want to make sure we address this because this was the thing I woke up to this morning. This great excitement about a free gift to all of America, free masks that you're paying for, by the way, with all your tax dollars. All right. And I said, how do you feel about this? And he goes, let's talk about the Sweden study. Sweden, did you know that the whole country of Sweden had no restrictions or lockdowns on schools, no mask requirements on children, and they wiped out any COVID issues, and there were zero deaths among children in Sweden the whole pandemic. And they all went to school, no masks. Did they have COVID-19? Yeah, it went through the country. Zero masks, zero deaths to kids in Sweden. So anyway, I just want you to understand, you don't need to be convinced or continue to be bullied, coerced, that there's this invisible threat out there of this virus that they're trying to promote and try to scare you with. Please remember, for as long as you've been alive, whoever's listening to this, every year there's been flu viruses and cold viruses abounding every year worldwide. And the majority of you are surviving. 97 to 98% of you are all surviving every year. They're still around. But they are blaming and calling everything and anything COVID-19, and all clinics and hospitals in the country are being incentivized to give them a positive COVID-19 diagnosis, regardless of what you have, which is pretty insane to me. So my goal has been nonstop to try to warn, project, and bring some common sense and reality. So let's do it. Whoever's watching this, Dr. Peter Bregan, what is a common cold virus? What kind of virus is it?
Well, 10% of them roughly are coronaviruses, and yeah. Over the decades, they've never been able to make a successful vaccine. We knew that from the beginning.
Wait, repeat that again. That was amazing. Everyone needs to know that. Okay, say it again. For decades, 100 years, they haven't been able to do this. What did you just say again? Say it again. They need to hear it.
Well, we knew this back in 2015 with certainty because, you know, when we found out China and the U.S. Were collaborating, making coronaviruses, SARS, making SARS coronaviruses out of plain old ordinary coronaviruses. And we found out that they were trying to make vaccines, but they really couldn't be too successful because it mutates so easily, constantly changing. So they've never been able to make a vaccine. We predicted that. We wrote about that, Ginger and I, back in April of 2020. And furthermore, that the animals who were vaccinated, a large number of them died when exposed to the SARS-CoV virus that the Americans and the Chinese had made together in this published paper in Nature Medicine. So we've known from the beginning, that's what gets back to the evil part of it that you raised earlier, Dr. Artis, which is they knew that this thing was going to kill people. We found a 2020 article, scientific article, funded by Fauci's NIAID, saying we shouldn't start giving it to humans experimentally. It's too dangerous in animals. And they listed the hemorrhages and the, you know, the cytokine storms and all the other things that the problems associated with this, using this vaccine. So while the science was saying don't start experimenting on people, they're led by Fauci, who was just a henchman for the real big global predators. They were starting Operation Warp Speed. So they knew, you know, that was kind of a turning point for me when I read the animal literature, because it goes back to what you were saying. You know, what are people doing? Well, they're ill-intentioned. I'm sorry to tell you that, folks. Anthony Fauci's ill intention, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, that Xi Jinping of the Chinese Communists, the World Health Organization, the UN. These are not George Washington. These are not the founders of America. These are not unique human beings who, for the first time in history, like George Washington, turned down power, complete power over a nation. These are ill-motivated human beings. That is, I think, maybe the hardest thing, Brian, for people to come to grips with.
They knew they were going to kill people. Yep.
But
it's very hard for people to reconcile that there's evil intended individuals on the planet on a mass global scale, taking advantage of citizens, wanting to do mass harm and injury. This is the last 10 seconds. I just want you to know, Dr. Peter Bregan, that the world knows that you love them, and I think they're learning that I love them. And we are not ill-intentioned. We'll be back.
And thank you for conducting my show. Well, hi, folks. You're watching here competing show hosts. Brian Artis interviewing Peter Bregan on his own show and unleashing him on the world. God bless you, Brian. I'm backing off. You had stuff you wanted to talk about today that's incredibly important because we're still poisoning people with bad medications while we suppress the good ones. That's your cue.
Thank you, Dr. Peter Bregan. You're a phenomenal host. You have a phenomenal show. It means I guarantee you reflectively your audience is phenomenal. So let's give them some phenomenal information. All right, so as of December 16th, 2021, which is like 3-4 weeks ago, the NIH decided 2 years into this pandemic to update its recommendations for all COVID-hospitalized 19 Americans, hospitalized COVID-19 Americans. And on that new chart, that table is titled Table 2F. Just type in NIH.gov, Table 2F, and it'll pull up the chart for you. They updated their recommendations for all treated COVID-19 patients in America, but it didn't change it much. They only listed one drug on the chart to be pumped inside the veins of all sick Americans with supposedly or confirmed COVID-19. And that one drug is called remdesivir. That's been the only drug from the beginning that Anthony Fauci has touted that was going to be the drug savior to treat all COVID-19 Americans from the beginning. It is early as March 2020. Now, I want to educate your audiences about this in case they just don't know. We'll see if we can bring some things to light. In order to help your audience remember the name of this drug, if they haven't memorized its spelling inside of your book already, hammered it through chapter by chapter and all the evilness behind it, Dr. Ryan Cole, who's a pathologist out of Idaho, walked up to me when I was doing an event with Dr. Peter McCullough and Richard Urso in Tyler, Texas, about a month ago. He walks up to me and he goes, Dr. Artis, a great way to get your audience to remember the name of remdesivir, because almost every host can't pronounce it. He says, just tell them to remember it's called Run, Death is Near. So, Run, Death is Near, remdesivir. It's an easy way to remember it. So, whenever you go to a hospital and somebody says, we're going to give you remdesivir, you say, I don't want Run, Death is Near. I already know about that drug. All right, so what do we know about this drug? It's the only FDA-approved drug right now for hospitalized Americans. It's also the only drug being pumped into the veins of all Brazilians, which is unfortunate. America right now, still amidst the entire world's pandemic of a deadly virus. It's odd to me and shouldn't make sense to very many of your audience. Why would America still have the most dead citizens in the entire world from COVID-19? I mean, there's only like 46 industrialized nations out of the 300 or so countries. Not even all of them have healthcare systems. How are they surviving better than the United States? The United States is failing more than all of them as far as outright numbers. So what are we doing? We're the only country from the beginning of the pandemic using one drug only called remdesivir. Anthony Fauci in May 2020 said this is going to be the mandated drug of choice for all American hospitalized patients. He asked our federal government to buy up all of the stock of this experimental drug from Gilead Sciences, who owns that patent and makes that drug. They bought up all the reserves of that, and Anthony Fauci asked the federal government not to export the drug remdesivir to any other country until the end of 2020. And it actually went through the end of October 2020, which is when the FDA decided to approve it on October 22nd, 2020. Well, in May of 2020, when I read Anthony Fauci's memo, at that point, it was still only an antiviral experimental drug never that has been approved by the FDA. But he did quote two studies in his memo dated May 12th, I believe, 2020. He said there's two studies that support its use as the only drug to treat all COVID-19 hospitalized Americans. The first, he said, it was proven safe and effective against the Ebola virus in Africa a year earlier. Now, this Ebola virus is still on the New England Journal of Medicine online. But on the date I read it, which is in the middle of May 2020, I clicked the link because I had never heard of remdesivir, and I wanted to know what Anthony Fauci knew was so miraculous about this drug because I had never heard of it. And I started reading that study, and I know you already know about this study, Dr. Bregan, but this is what blew me away. Halfway through the study, you get to the mortality section, and there's this independent safety board that is reviewing the data for the half of a year of this year-long study. There's four experimental drugs in this trial. They include remdesivir and three other experimental drugs, including Regeneron. And all three of these drugs, one was put in by the Department of Health and Human Services, one was put in by DARPA, the other one was called Regeneron. These three were monoclonal antibodies. Remdesivir was considered to be the only real true antiviral in the actual research study. Halfway through the study, the independent board is reviewing all the data from all the people being treated with this drug for Ebola. And what they discovered disturbed them so much that they pulled remdesivir out of the trial and didn't let anybody else get that drug. And it pulled that drug and another drug called ZMapp, which was a triple monoclonal antibody. It was either put in by, I think it was put in by DARPA, actually. So these two drugs were pulled from the study. DARPA had a mortality rate. I mean, ZMapp had a mortality rate of 49.7% of all people they gave that drug to still died. Remdesivir was the only drug of the four that had a death rate or mortality rate over 50%. It was actually 53.1% of everyone they gave that drug to died. No other drug had that high of a percentage of death other than remdesivir. So the independent safety board pulled remdesivir and ZMapp and said the only remaining participants in the trial can get MAB114, which was a single monoclonal antibody, and Regeneron, which you hear about in the media right now because of DeSantis out of Florida. He gets excited about Regeneron. Regeneron's a triple monoclonal antibody put out by Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. So when I'm reading this study, and the safety board pulled remdesivir from the study because they found it the least effective and the most deadly, I knew right away Anthony Fauci was lying. That's all I knew. Then I wanted to know, well, was he just getting bad advice about the study? How much did he actually know about the study? So I went to see who funded the study. And you already know this, Dr. Bregan. Anthony Fauci and his NIAID department was the only funder for that entire year-long study in Africa a year before the pandemic. So Anthony Fauci would have been getting all of the updates the entire time when remdesivir and ZMapp got pulled in August of 2019 because they were so dangerous and deadly. Anthony Fauci would have been notified. He would have had that information. Only to turn around, Anthony Fauci let Gilead Sciences take their remdesivir failed drug in the Ebola trial, and in
not
March,
failed, deadly,
deadly,
it was deadly, it's very a deadly, murderous drug.
It is a very murderous drug. Anthony Fauci then allows Gilead to take remdesivir and give it to 53 COVID-19 patients from various countries. It's called a cohort study, and this was the second study that he quoted. And when I clicked on that study, I couldn't believe it. The conclusions from Gilead was this exactly. 23% of all people that got that drug between days 5 and 10 developed multiple organ failure, acute kidney failure, septic shock, and hypotension. 8% additional people in that trial had to be taken off the drug because their livers were failing so intensely, so toxic. And then several people had to have their kidneys taken out because the drug killed their kidneys and they needed kidney transplants. This is a total of 31% of all people they gave that drug to in 5 to 10 days developed lethal side effects to the drug. That's how toxic it was. And these were the only two studies in the memo at the time from Anthony Fauci supporting his decision to use this drug. And this is when, Dr. Bregan, I had sold my practice, my second practice, in 2018 and retired from being in practice and was just building nutritional products for supplement companies I co-founded. I had no intentions of trying to save the planet, but when my father-in-law was killed just 3 months earlier than this Anthony Fauci memo on NIH.gov's website, I didn't realize that what I experienced in the hospital watching a hospital protocol murder my father-in-law, my wife's dad, when I witnessed that and then read this protocol put out by Anthony Fauci, I knew that he was about to create a massive amount of death, carnage. I actually went into the media, hired a publicist to go out and put me in the media everywhere I could to try to warn as many people that Anthony Fauci was a liar and he was creating a genocide of Americans. And I knew why he was doing it. I knew exactly why he chose that drug. They realized between October and November in Wuhan area of China, they realized from then till May of 2020 that this bioweapon they created, the spike protein, when they unleashed it on the planet, the data was coming in. There was less than 1% of all people were dying. Well, there was no way on the planet the majority of this world was going to sign up for a vaccine campaign that I knew was coming unless he could convince you people were dying in mass amounts from this virus. So he actually implemented a drug he just had in a research study just a few months earlier. And he chose that drug to be pumped into the veins of every New York hospitalized COVID-19 patient in March and April of 2020. And they called it a clinical trial. And they were pumping remdesivir into these people. And these people were dying in huge amounts. And then he could sell the American people with pandemonium and fear and anxiety that this virus is deadly when in fact they were dying, primarily the majority of them, from remdesivir poisoning in hospitals, which was causing acute kidney failure, which is what all the press conferences were saying when they were interviewing attending medical doctors in New York in March and April of 2020. The whole world wanted to know what's happening with these COVID-19 patients when you treat them. And they all said the same thing. All the medical doctors did. We've never seen a respiratory virus ever do this before. When we start treating this COVID-19 virus, as soon as we start treating it, the virus moves from the lungs and goes to the kidneys and causes acute kidney failure. And we not only have a shortage of ventilators, we don't have enough dialysis machines to handle the acute kidney failure. Now, this is what got my attention. My father-in-law, on the third day of being treated for the flu in early February of 2020, we were called and told that he was going into acute kidney failure, only to find on day 6 when I went up to the hospital that it was because of a drug called vancomycin, which is a very toxic antibiotic and causes acute kidney failure. They had that pumping into his veins every day that he was in there. That ill-advised protocol for the flu is what caused his demise. And now I'm reading a memo and listening to these reports coming out of New York that there's this treatment. When we start treating this virus, this new virus, we're seeing acute kidney failure on day 3, 4, and 5. And immediately the bells went off. I really do think it was like a God thing for me to experience this 3 months earlier because I could see exactly what was going on with these protocols as he established them. I have been in the media nonstop warning everybody that upwards of 30% of all people that they're going to treat with this drug called remdesivir, upwards of 30% of them are going to die from multiple organ failure, acute kidney failure, which is going to lead to what's called pulmonary edema or fluid accumulation in the lungs. These people are going to drown to death and they're going to require to vent these people. And this is exactly what we see one after another after another. We're up to 850,000 dead Americans. No other country even has 700,000. Brazil is at 630,000 dead Brazilians. They started using remdesivir as the only drug of treatment early March of 2021. They've had nearly 400,000 die just this year alone, which is way more than what they experienced in the first year of the pandemic. So Anthony Fauci used this drug to mass murder a whole bunch of innocent Americans. Then he told you, as he went on TV every night, that people were dying in droves from a virus, when in fact, the majority of them were being poisoned to death with remdesivir. And so he needed this, though. They needed a whole bunch of dead people to be able to report a whole bunch of deaths so that the American society would be afraid of the virus and sign up for their ultimate agenda, which was to sign up and volunteer yourselves for a vaccine. And when the world and the majority of us Americans and those around the world resisted, then you saw it turn to coerciveness, to bribery, to bullying, to now threats that you can't travel or have any of your liberties or freedoms that you had before unless you get our vaccine. So anyway, this has been a disgusting thing to witness and to watch. But I will tell you now, as I have been exposing the deadly known toxic effects of this drug before it was ever mandated as the only drug to pump full of veins in hospitals, as that's come to light, more things become more disturbing as we go on. So in October of 2021, just 3 months ago, there's a journal called the Cardiovascular Toxicology Journal. They did their own review of remdesivir and found that remdesivir is so toxic, it has cardiotoxic effects. It actually kills cells of the heart and can lead to cardiac arrest and complete heart block, which causes you to die. It even states that the cardiotoxicity or heart toxicity of remdesivir is far worse than the chloroquine cardiotoxic effects, which is very interesting to me, because on that memo I read, Dr. Breggin, in May of 2020, when Anthony Fauci said we're only using remdesivir, he actually bastardized just one other drug. He said chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine cannot be used for any COVID-19 hospitalized patients. And his excuse was it was found in an international trial that COVID-19 patients, when you gave them hydroxychloroquine or chloroquine, they developed heart disease that led to death. Well, this study just 3 months ago from the Cardiovascular Toxicology Journal confirms that the cardiotoxic effects or heart damage effects of remdesivir, it says, are far worse with remdesivir than chloroquine.
It's not even close, yeah.
Yet in December, when the NIH updates their protocols for treating COVID-19 patients, they still only list remdesivir as the only FDA-approved drug. And I want to ask you something, Dr. Peter Breggin. You're a genius. And I know you are the host for the show, but I'm going to ask you a question like I'm the host. Okay. This is your show. I'm on the Dr. Peter Breggin Show. Okay. I want to ask you something. If there's one and only one drug that's FDA approved and suggested and encouraged by the NIH to be used to treat all COVID-19 hospitalized Americans, there's only one drug called remdesivir. There is no other drug. There's only one approved. Can you explain to me, Peter Breggin, does it make any common sense to you or logic, or what's the reasoning behind? Why do you think Medicare right now on their website and published and pushed to all hospitals in this country, why would Medicare be incentivizing hospitals to choose remdesivir for all Medicare-aged patients with a 20% add-on bonus if they will just treat all Medicare-aged Americans with that drug and nothing else for COVID-19? If there is only one approved drug by the FDA and the NIH, why would Medicare have to incentivize hospitals with a 20% bonus to actually use it? I mean, there's only one drug that they're supposedly allowed to use. What would be the rationale behind the Medicare offering a bonus payout to all hospitals, even right now, to use this drug that on the NIH's chart says it causes acute kidney failure and liver failure? It is its listed known side effects. Now we know it causes heart failure also. What good reason would Medicare have to bribe all hospitals that 65-year and older people in America need to be pumped full of remdesivir and no other drug, when in fact it is the only drug supposedly they're allowed to use?
Well, obviously what you're getting at is that they need the incentive to get them to use it. But I think it's the only thing you've said today that I have a different take on. These hospitals will do anything they're being told now. They don't have to incentivize. They'll do anything. The incentive is simply to keep draining the wealth of this country into the drug companies and into the elite hospital people who run it, to take it away from the working people, the middle class people. Folks, everything that Dr. Artis has talked about is true, and there's a lot more background to it. If you go into the book, into COVID-19, The Global Predators, there's about 6-7 pages, I don't know, 8 pages about the background to what he just presented. Not just that. I'll give you one, because planning here, I think, is the big issue. There were three companies they really, really wanted from the beginning to support. One of them was Gilead, which is the manufacturer of remdesivir. And I don't know the ins and outs of how they chose them. Another was Moderna, and another was Pfizer. And they were chosen way before the epidemic to be the drugs to invest in if you're big drug companies. And they were chosen, I think, because they're all deadly. I have to say it. The people who are behind this think we have too many people. They've said it again and again, many different ways. First of all, NIH has no power to tell American medicine how to use drugs. There's no law. This is the first time that's happened. The committee that Fauci set up, which said at the earliest possible point, I think it was in, probably in February of 2020, that you can't use hydroxychloroquine and you can use remdesivir. The committee had 11 drug company reps on it. They're always loaded with them. And nine of them were from Gilead. The great majority of the drug company reps who could control, that's a large enough block to control everything that the recommending committee did, were on the payroll of Gilead as consultants or employees or some function or another. Tracked it all down, put it in the book, and looked at it and said, I don't get it. I didn't want to face maybe how evil things were at that point. And in fact, at that point, as Dr. Artis has just graphically, dramatically told you, remdesivir was known to be a killer drug. And just before, and I don't think this one overlaps with the two studies you were describing, just before remdesivir became the drug of choice and they started to do studies on it at NIMH, there was a study on remdesivir in Lancet. The study showed it had no positive effect. It didn't reduce the viral load when tested in the body. And 5%, I think, of the patients were getting much worse in their SARS-CoV disorder. In Lancet. And then finally, he set up a study. And you're supposed to set up in advance what your study is going to do. And it didn't do anything they wanted it to do, so they made it up to do something else. And by the time he got done with the study was actually showing it didn't work, and they were claiming it did work. So you know what he did? You know what the man did? Shut down the study. He said, this is working so well, we have to let the patients choose it who are on placebo. In other words, we're going to give the death drug to the placebo patients too. This cannot be lied about, folks. We can't be on TV lying. So here, he told you stuff so horrible you couldn't believe it. And in a few minutes, we're right back to more than we can believe. So we are dealing with evil, folks. We have got 27 seconds left to say we are dealing with evil, but we have people fighting it. We have Brian Hartis fighting it. You got me, you got people all over the country. Stand up against this terrible, dreadful oppression that we are undergoing in the country. Do it for yourself, do it for America, do it for the world, do it for God. Bless you.